welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. And beloved, God is in the miracle working business. Well, praise God. This week has flown by. It's been just such a joy to share this time with you. We've been looking all week at Psalm 77, Face Victory. And I pray that you've been blessed. And we, by the Lord's help, we're going to wrap up the message today. And we were looking at the third very important element of what to do when you're really at the bottom of the barrel, and that is submission to the Lord. We looked at some scriptural examples of resignation. Now, for some people, that's a dirty word. But to be resigned simply means to give oneself over without resistance, which in relation to the Lord is a very wonderful thing. It's called submission to God. And I was making, as I brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, we were looking briefly at the book of Job. Now, that's a very rich and very packed book, and it's hard in just a few moments to do justice to it. But if I could summarize it, we see that in the final chapters, well, chapter 32 to 37, Elihu enters the discussion because Job's friends have not answered his questions. They haven't helped him. And also, he has some criticism, some words of exhortation for Job, because Job had made some various charges against God. He had charged God with hostility and capriciousness, that there was kind of no purpose to what he was doing. Secondly, because he said, I'm clean without transgression. I am innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me. Well, I don't know if any of us would really have quite the boldness to say that, but anyway, that Job did, and he said, God said he was a perfect man. He charged God with injustice, secondly. For God has said, I'm quoting now, I am righteous, and God hath taken away my judgment. Should I lie against my right? My wound is incurable without transgression. And then, thirdly, we see that Job adds rebellion to his sin. Rebellion in that he is not being submissive to God. He's angry. He curses the day he was born. He doesn't understand what is going on, and he is not at all happy. And I don't know about you, but there are times I have not been happy in battles. I'm thinking back to some years ago when I was at Duck Valley. One of the major issues I was dealing with was computer problems. Every time I turned around, a computer was crashing. The motherboard was going out 2 months later, spending 12 hours driving back to the Bay Area to get it fixed because it was under warranty there. I mean, I was not in a good place, but I finally learned after it happened so many times that it would be better not to complain about it, but to trust God and see His purposes in it. Listen to what Elihu says to Job. Would that Job's affliction be continued? Hey, bud, you need to, stay in your little stew for a little while because, let me just read what he said. Would that Job's affliction be continued and he be tried to the end because of his answering like wicked men? For listen to this, for he adds rebellion to his unsubmissive attitude toward God in his unacknowledged sin. He claps his hand in open mockery and multiplies his words of accusation against God. The Amplified says, take heed, turn not to the iniquity, for this, the iniquity of complaining against God, you have chosen rather than submission in affliction. So Elihu extols the greatness and providence of God, urging Job to recognize God's purpose in his sufferings and to join with others in exalting him. So, beloved, what can I say? How can we just summarize this? That submission to the Lord is critical in the battles we go through. In other words, submission, saying, Lord, this, like the psalmist said in Psalm 77, this is my infirmity. This is my infirmity. This is where I'm at. But, and he's not going to be angry at God. He's going to wait before the Lord for his deliverance and answer, because in the very first verse you said, I cried unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. So he knows God is in the process of answering his cries. In 1 Peter 5 and 6, the word says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, again, if this is such a key, being submissive to God, but it doesn't stop there. Look what he goes on to say, the psalmist in verse 10. This is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. In the midst of where he's at, it is with his troubled spirit, with his soul in turmoil, he is going to remember what God has done for him. And beloved, if I can say anything of importance to you right now, no matter what you're going through, that's the most important thing you can do. In your infirmity, in your trial, in your testings, remember what God has done for you in the past. The years of the right hand of the Most High, the years, all those times he's rescued you, helped you, the years of his favor, the years of his blessing and provision. And he goes on to say, and you see, the rest of the psalm is devoted to that. He's doing what he said he should do. I will remember, and he goes on to remember them. He remembers the works of God. He goes on, verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings, not just thinking about it, but to being active by faith. You know, faith is without works is dead. So he's actively, he's going to say what the Lord has done, talk of his doings. Praise God. And note in verse 13, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Hallelujah. And the Amplified just puts it this way, thy way is in the sanctuary in holiness, away from sin and guilt. Who is a great God like our God? Praise God. And then in Psalm 63 and 2, the word says, my flesh longeth for thee, my soul thirsteth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. In Psalm 73, we see David lamenting the prosperity of the wicked. And he said, and this is verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Praise God. And so we see that God's has a message for us in this Psalm 77. And what is that concluding message? Well, as we read the remainder of this Psalm, we see renewed assurance in the delivering power of God. We're simply, again, the Asaph is declaring, he's speaking forth what he said he would do. He would talk of the Lord's doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee, and they were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water, the skies sent out a sound, thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven, the lightnings lightened the world, the earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. The last verse says, thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Well, beloved, water is a symbol. When he says in verse 19, thy way is in the sea, water is a symbol of chaos and forces hostile to God. We see that, you know, the water shrank away in fear when he appeared, and so the Red Sea was crossed. The power of God aiding his oppressed people is described in terms of furious thunderstorms, amidst whirlwind, between flashes of lightning. God strode the sea ahead of his people, too sublime for mortal eye to see, but revealing himself to them in the power of his might, glory. Israel had an experience of God's presence and power. So, beloved, never, never, never feel that you are forsaken of the Lord. God is with you in the time of trouble. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. He won't leave you abandoned. He will not forsake you. He won't leave you in that place where you're so troubled that you can't speak. If you'll call out to him, knowing that he hears and answers prayer, if you'll submit yourself to him, resign yourself and put yourself wholly in his hands, knowing that we have a God in heaven, a Father who loves us, who will minister to us, who will protect us, who will cherish us, who will also in love teach us the things we need to learn so that we will be prepared to dwell with him and all the glorious saints of all the ages with him in eternity and on this earth in the kingdom. Oh, beloved, what a glorious ending to this psalm. The psalmist needed no other argument. God had surely revealed himself once and for all. He was on Israel's side. Beloved, if God be for you, who can be against you? And so, as you hear my voice, as you're listening to this broadcast, no matter where you find yourself tonight, this day, God is with you. He's there bearing his holy arm to fight in your behalf. You know, for the Israelites, the promised land still lay ahead. There were yet many battles to be fought and won. But instead of weakness and despair, God's people could go on with a firm step and the light of faith ablaze in their hearts that he who began a good work will bring it to completion. That's his promise to us in the new covenant, Philippians 1 and 6. Beloved, God will deliver. God has so much for us, beloved, and I brought this message to you so that you could be encouraged that there is a way out of affliction, and that is by yielding to the Lord, trusting in him, submitting to him, and remembering all his wondrous works. Well, it's been a joy to minister to you. I wish I had an hour to go on, but I must bring this broadcast to a close. Thank you for joining me. I look forward to what the Lord has for us next time. I invite you to listen. The announcer will give you our contact information. Thank you for your prayers as well as your support in the Spirit. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.